You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
May God bless you richly in the name of Jesus Christ. This is Reverend Dave Boston, and I welcome you to our presentation of Follow His Sandals. As this is a Christian radio station, perhaps it goes without saying whose sandals we are endeavoring to follow more closely, but that would be those of our loving Lord Jesus Christ. As I have often said, the last perfect guy blew out of here almost 2,000 years ago. This show is about our working together in the Bible to help each of us more closely follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get started. Well, God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ. I wish you all a very happy, blessed, and prosperous new year. And, New Year's a very interesting time, of course. You know, people talk about resolutions, and I'm going to go to the gym every single day, and I'm going to read my Bible for 2 hours every single day and everything. And honestly, I'm not really big on resolutions because what's happened to me personally is I make the resolution. By January 2nd, I've screwed it up already, and then I feel bad about it. So I'm not really big on resolutions, but I am, however, very big on habits, directions, and goals. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today as to what we're going to do. I want to talk a little bit about two books that I've read that have been very interesting to me. The first one's called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and that's written by Stephen Covey. And the other one is called Atomic Habits, and that's written by a guy named James Clear. Very good books, the two of them. Now, you'll notice they both have the word habits in them, and that's one of the things I'm endeavoring to do in my life is just have very, very good habits in different things to do what I want to do. And Dr. Covey, in his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he has a section on, it's the second habit. It's begin with the end in mind. And his point is that as you live life, you got to figure out, first of all, what's important to you. And then once you know what's important to you, then you want to head in that direction. You know, if as the old saying goes, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Well, we are Christians, so we know what our road is going to be. But what we want to do is begin with that end in mind and then work toward that. And our goal then would be to get to become the best Christians we can be, to be the best disciples and follow his sandals. Conveniently threw the name in there. See that? Was that clever or what? Now, interestingly, in the church epistles, the Christian epistles, and that's going to be the books written to the Christian churches, right? It's going to be Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. There are a lot of references and a lot of idea of the fact that, you know, Jesus Christ is coming back. He's going to come back. Now, some people say, I don't believe in Jesus. Okay, fine. He's still going to come back. Whether I believe him, whether I don't believe him, he's coming back. He doesn't need Dave's permission, certainly. He's coming back, all right? And then, of course, the scripture exhorts us, look, since he's coming back, you know, what are we going to be doing? In fact, I just heard a Christian song this morning, which was, you know, what are you going to be doing when Jesus comes? And that's a very interesting question to ask ourselves. What do we want to be doing when Jesus comes? The theme in the epistles are, look, Jesus is coming back, therefore get in the game, you know, get going, you know, serve Jesus kind of thing. One time I saw a bumper sticker like that and said, hey, Jesus is coming back, look busy. I thought that was great, right? Look busy. Look, oh, Jesus is here. I better get going. But I thought about that. You know, our lives get so busy. I don't want to be so busy that I'm not helping, not prepared when Jesus comes back. You know, sometimes you think about that with everything. You know, I don't want to be saying, oh, Jesus, wait, the game, it's fourth quarter. We're up by two, right? I don't want that to be my focus. Or, Jesus, I'm almost done with this project at work. Once I'm done with that, I'll be happy to talk to you. No, when Jesus Christ comes back, I want to be ready. I want to be prepared. And how we prepare for that is that we do what we need to do now. We get in the game now. What are we going to do when Jesus comes? Well, we want to be doing his word. We want to be following his sandals the absolute best we can be. And that's exciting. Now, in the Christian epistles, the church epistles, there, like I said, there's this theme about the idea of you know, taking it seriously. Because he is coming back. Jesus is coming back. It's going to happen. And it's an exciting time to think about, and there's lots of scriptures about that, but we're going to look at a few of them. We're going to start in Romans chapter 13, please. Romans 13. Excuse me. Romans chapter 13. And again, the idea is, it's not if he's coming back or not, it's when, because he's coming. He told us he'd be back, and the scriptures confirm that he'll be back, right? So Jesus is coming. So when he comes back, do we want to be our best, or do we want to be thinking, gee, I should have done more for Jesus. Oh, this whole Jesus thing is real. Maybe I should have read my Bible more. Maybe I should have prayed more. Well, we know he's coming back. So since we know that, we can prepare now and do those things which he would like us to do and be doing when he returns. Now, Romans 13, interesting little section here. We're going to pick it up down in verse 8. It says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. There's a great book on this called Loving Your Neighbor, A Practical Guide to Keeping the Second Great Commandment, written by yours truly. Sorry if that's shameless plug, but I thought I could throw it in there. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that makes sense, right? You know, if you love somebody, are you going to murder them? Not usually, right? If you love them, you're going to steal from them? No. If you love them, you're going to lie to them? No. See, if you love your neighbor, you're going to keep all the other commandments just as easily, right? Just as simply. And then verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Yeah. Every day that goes by is a day closer to Jesus coming back. He could come back tomorrow, today. He could be, right? Or in a year from now. The question we have to ask ourselves is, how do we want to be prepared and how? And that's what we call beginning with the end in mind. And by the way, both of those books I would recommend reading. They're both very, very good if you're interested in changing the habits of your life. Now look at verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of life. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now this last verse is very interesting. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now I was looking to a translation that I really enjoy, written by a friend of mine, and one of the things he translates this last part of verse 14, it says, do not think in advance on working on the flesh, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And I thought that's an interesting translation. Don't think about it. Don't think in advance, or think in advance not to do that. And when I looked up the Greek word, it means that. And if you think about the word provision, what's provision? Well, you're going on a vacation, right? So you're going to need provisions. Well, what are you thinking about? You're thinking ahead of time. Okay, what are we going to need? We're going to need food. We're going to need this. We're going to need that. We're going to need extra one of these or two of those because we have children, right? And what provision means simply is to think in advance about what you're going to need, right? Now, this is saying make no provision for the flesh. We don't want to live for the flesh. We want to live for the spirit, right? That's what Romans talks about a lot. And excuse me, goodness, today. Okay. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. In other words, think through. And the same is true with goals, isn't it? What do we want to be doing with our lives? Where do we want to go? And that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Where do we want to go with our lives? Well, this show is all about following his sandals. It's about following and becoming the best disciples of Jesus we can be. So rather than saying, hey, I'll wait a couple of years, then I'll do it. As soon as I get my college degree, then I'm going to start serving Jesus. Once I get my career under control, I'm going to follow Jesus. We can always have excuses not to get started, but the reality is if we begin with the end in mind, which of course is Jesus Christ coming back, then everything we do now is to live toward that goal. We want to be the best we can be. Jesus Christ will reward us for all the things we do for him when he comes back. And that's exciting when you think about it, because God could have said, look, do it or die, right? But he didn't. He said, look, you do it out of love, and I'm going to be there to reward you when you get back. And that's a very exciting time, but it's a great theme, too, through the scriptures. We want to be doing what he wants. And as far as thinking in advance, well, that's what goals are, aren't they, and plans. You know, and directions. What direction do we want to go in here? What's our goal? What's our habits to get there? Well, we know what the direction is toward the return of Jesus Christ. So how do we live the best we can be toward that goal? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 is a great section of scripture for lots of reasons. One of the sections I love is right here at the end of chapter 15. We're going to pick it up in verse 51. It's talking about the return of Christ. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Exactly. Verse 54, so when this corruptible, you know what corruptible basically means? The ability to be corrupted, right? What does mortal mean? Mortality. Mortal means the ability to die. Don't try this at home, okay? Trust me, it means the ability to die. So when you die on this, if you die before Jesus comes back and you put in the ground or cremated or whatever, you're corrupting, right? Your body's corrupting. And that's a problem, obviously, right? And but when you're alive, we are what's called mortal. We have the ability to die. We have the ability to die. And we don't want to try that at home, but it's true. We have the ability to die. Don't test me on that one, okay? We have the ability to die, but we don't want to do that. Now, when Jesus comes back, guess what? Those who are dead will be raised, the corruptible, those being corrupted who have already passed away, they're going to be made incorruptible. In other words, they're not going to corrupt ever again. And those of us who are mortal, if the Lord came back today, those of us who are mortal, we have the ability to die today. But if the Lord returns, that mortal is going to put on immortality, which means we're going to lose the ability to die, which is a good thing. We don't want to be there. Now, let's keep reading here. Look at verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Jump down to verse 57, please. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're gonna. Our future is very bright. He's coming back. He's coming back. That's true. This is called the hope of the return of Jesus Christ. He's coming back. That's a good thing. Thank the Lord he's coming back, right? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 58, and what's the first word? Therefore. What do we ask ourselves? What's the therefore? Well, we just talked about how God's giving us the victory. Our future is solid. We're going to be with Jesus forever. We're going to be immortal. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast. It doesn't say, therefore, pull up the hammock and go to sleep. Sleep more. Pull up the Afghan and get more napping in. No. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Look at this. Immovable. And look at this next phrase. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yeah, everything we do for God and Jesus, right? Everything we do for them is not in vain. Everything we do is going to be rewarded, which is what it says in verse, the last part of verse 58, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain. All the things you do for Jesus is not in vain. And the beauty of it is we're going to be with God and Jesus forever. Which is pretty exciting, I think, if you ask me, right? But I love this. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. So if it's not in vain, what do? Well, we're steadfast. We're immovable. We're always abounding in the work of the Lord. And there's a lot we can do for the Lord, right? I've heard a teacher, a pastor one time, he's talking about that. He said, hey, we all can be disciples. And the end of his preaching, he was kind of getting low on time, I think, but he says, so what can you do? You can donate more money. You can spend more time, you know, helping the church by mowing the lawn and doing things. And I thought, no, it's so much bigger than that. We're going to talk about the giftings coming up in coming weeks. But God's given us all giftings. God's given us all gifts that he wants us to use for him. And the Bible talks about that in Romans chapter 12. We'll read that, if not today, sometime soon. But the idea is that God gave us these gifts, these abilities to serve the body of Christ, to serve God. So what do we do with them? Well, we can put them on the shelf next to the dusty Bible, or guess what? We can read the Bible and then utilize these gifts to help other Christians to love God and to love our neighbor, which is what it talks about. Now, it says to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Well, does the work of the Lord get tiring at times? Yeah, it can. Can it be frustrating at times? It can. Can it be discouraging at times? It can. But you know what? The exhortation is be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that word knowing is interesting. In Greek, it's a participle. And a participle is a verb form used as a noun or an adjective. So here it's used as an adjective. In other words, we're going to be doing this, or an adverb. Knowing has the implication of being consistently aware of. You know, it's not like a knowing, like I knew it last Friday and I forgot. No, knowing means we're constantly remembered of this. We are reminded of this and thinking about it. Look, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Jesus Christ is coming back. So all the things we do for him, don't stop. Stay strong. Stay aggressive. And that's a great theme all through the scriptures. So our direction is going to be to follow Jesus, right? Let's look at one more in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3. Right after Philippians chapter 2 for you Bible scholars out there. Okay, Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to pick it up in verse 20. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." That's the beauty of citizenship being in heaven. In heaven, it's different than on earth. I live in the United States. I live in Palm City, Florida. Now, if I want to call up the governor of Florida or our president, you know, I can pick the phone up and try. Will I get him on the phone? Most likely not, right? Most likely not. But in the kingdom of heaven, guess what? We're citizenships of heaven. Guess what? When I want to talk to the creator of the heavens and the earth, when you want to talk to the creator of the heavens and the earth, we can do that whenever we want. And he's listening always to us. Isn't that exciting? Talk about us. Talk about an elite citizen. That's who you are. You're heaven's elite. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back. Verse 21, "Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Yeah, he's coming back, right? When he comes back, it's like we read in Corinthians, that corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Our mortal, our ability to die is going away. We're going to be immortal at that point, right? And then what do we do about that? Well, look at chapter 4, verse 1. Since Jesus is coming back, we're going to be changed. We're going to be with him. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. What's that first word again? Therefore. And what is the therefore, therefore? Well, simple. Jesus Christ is coming back. He's going to transform our lowly bodies into his glorious body. Therefore, what do? "Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." Yes, we want to stand fast in the Lord. He's coming back. He is coming back. He's coming back. We cannot say it enough. We cannot be reminded enough. And consequently, we should be, as we're knowing this, that he's coming back, our labor is not in vain. If our, you know, I was at a conference in Massachusetts years and years ago now, and a bunch of, with a couple of clergy friends of mine, and it was a group of clergy from different churches around the Boston area. And we went up there and we were part of it. And it was amazing to me because these pastors, to the man, it was all men at that time, but to the man, were all discouraged, frustrated, and on the verge of giving up. And I thought, why are they? Why is that? You know, well, they've forgotten something. They've forgotten that Jesus Christ is coming back. My joy in the Lord is not supposed to be dependent on what people do. It's what depends on what the Lord does. And he's already done so much, hasn't he? That's what we want to keep our focus on. So our direction then for 2026, we want to follow Jesus better in 26. Why? Because he's coming back, right? He's coming back, isn't he? Look back in Philippians 4 here. So we're going to stand fast in the Lord, right? Jump down to verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord how often?" Oh, every third Wednesday of the month. No, rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. Again, I will say rejoice. Verse 6, here's a great one. "Be anxious for nothing." Be anxious for what? Nothing. Well, I got to be real honest with you. I've had days where I've been anxious for things, all right? Look what God's guidance is here. "Be anxious for nothing, but," instead of being anxious, "but in everything," here we go, "by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." That's quite a section. Because Jesus Christ is coming back, look at the thing. What should we do? Well, very simple. We rejoice in the Lord always. Why? He's coming back. That's why. See, what we're seeing here in this section, some good habit patterns, right? Some good habits to do. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So how often might we want to rejoice? Always, every day, right? Verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We call this prayer. Instead of being anxious, we pray more. What would be a good habit to do? Pray more. You read Daniel in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. He prayed 3 times a day, right? And he was very faithful to it. Actually got him in trouble one time. They put him in a lion's den because of it. But it didn't stop him from praying. Didn't stop him from slowing down and just praying every day. Well, that's a good habit pattern for us, isn't it? That'd be a great habit, wouldn't it? And then look at verse 8 again. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Yeah. In other words, this is a habit. A good habit to have into in our lives is to think good thoughts. Stop thinking about the idiot things of the world that many times. We don't want to be distracted. I mean, I think I told you this before, but I can't look at news at night. It's all negative. I don't need to be thinking about that beforehand. The reality is, regardless of whatever happens in the politics and the world, Jesus Christ will come back. He will come back. He will come back. That's a given. And because of that, we can be joyful at all times. Now, this other book I told you about was called Atomic Habits. And I love this book because it's very practical. And I'll give you an example of it. His goal in this book is to help us make better habits, good and, you know, get rid of bad habits and having good habits. And one of the things he talks about in that book is you can take your lifestyle, whatever you're doing, and if you put things, if you plan your life correctly, you can plan things that remind you to keep your habit. I'll give you an example for me. One of the things I wanted to do is I wanted to do more abdominal exercises. I want to work on my tummy and get as muscular as possible. Well, in my house, in my garage, we have an exercise mat in there. Well, my Keurig coffee machine, which I'm very faithful to, was in the kitchen, taking up my wife's counter space, which which again was a problem. So I was able to do two things. I was able to bless her. I took it out of the kitchen, and I put it in the garage. And, of course, we have a refrigerator in there, so my creamer is there too. But I thought, you know, you guys, if you've used a Keurig before, you know, you put the cup in, you turn it on. You've got 3 or 4 minutes to wait, don't you, before the coffee's ready. Well, I've got an exercise mat right there. So I put the coffee on. I do my exercises, my abdominal exercises. And by the time I'm done with that, guess what? My coffee's done. That's a great system. But what it did for me was it developed a habit. It was an easy way to develop a habit. I changed my surroundings so that keeping that habit would be easy. If I wait till 10 o'clock at night, I'm going to do abs now. No, I'm probably not going to exercise well at 10 o'clock at night. But if I have a pattern set up, my house is set up to the point where it helps me keep my habits. So what habits do we want to work on? Well, we just read a few of them, praying, right? Praying and everything. How about a great habit of this? How about a habit of just believing God loves us? How about that for being a great goal for 2026? That in 2026, we believe God loves us and we think about it constantly. And this brings back to one of my other habits. I saw this. I love the book of Psalms, and I have this translation of it, and it's in a binder, actually. And what I do is, 3 or 4 times a year, I'll read the whole book of Psalms over the course of a number of days. But what I do is I try to read some every single day. And then I actually have verses paper-clipped in my Bible, in this Bible, that I remind myself of every day, even if I don't read them as part of my normal reading. And I thought the great thing about Psalms is it helps us remember just how great God is and how great God thinks about you. You know, God really does love you, and it's important that we remember that. It's important that we think about that day to day. And I just thought I'd throw you a couple of them just because I have my Bible open anyway. So look at Psalm 23. This is one I do every day. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. God's with you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then look at verse 6. I love verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Well, why is it going to follow you? Because God loves you. That's why. He loves you. That's why it's going to follow you. Let's look at another one. Look at Psalm 84. Psalm 84 is another great one. And again, there's a million of these. There's a whole bunch of these in the book of Psalms. You can't go wrong in the book of Psalms, I always say. But Psalm 103 is a great section. And again, if you ever wonder about how God feels about you, this is your verse. Psalm 103. Look at we'll just start right in verse 1. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. praising God. We've talked about praising God. Praising God's great for you because it's not like God's on an ego trip where God's saying, tell me how nice I am. Tell me how nice I am. Tell me how good I am. No, he's not. That's not God. He loves, right? But we bless the Lord because it reminds us of how great he is. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And look at this. Forget not all his benefits. We probably couldn't remember, 10% of all the things God's done for us over the course of our lives, especially if those of us who are advanced in our years, like myself. Anyway. Forget not all his benefits. Verse 3. Who forgives about 25% of your iniquities? No, what? He forgives all your iniquities. How many sins have you done that God's forgiven you for? Every single one of them. We ask God to say we're sorry. Sorry, Father, thank you for forgiveness. Guess what he does? He forgives. 1 John talks about that. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Back on verse 3, it says, who heals all your diseases. You know what's interesting about when Jesus Christ was on earth? You never see a time when he goes to heal somebody and all of a sudden he goes, oh, wait, I can't heal you. I want you sick. You know, there's a guy that comes off the mountain at one point. Jesus is coming down the mountain and there's a leper there. And the leper says, Lord, if you will, if you want to, you can make me whole. And Jesus doesn't say, sorry, I don't want you to be healed because your pride's a problem. No, Jesus' response is beautifully indicative of his heart. He says, I will, be thou clean. And the guy was healed right away. You know, it's a great record in the Bible, but when you see Jesus, he didn't go and say, I don't want to heal you. It says he healed all that came to him. Why? Because that's God's heart is to heal. God's heart is to love. That's why it says here, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, verse 4. Look at this next part. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And there's all kinds of great stuff. You can study more on these things. Look at verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Look at this next one. This one I read a lot because I need to be reminded of this. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Yeah, we ask God to forgive us. He forgives. He doesn't bring it up again. He's done with it. We bring it up. We keep reminding him, God, thank you again for forgiveness for that time I sinned back in 1940. All right? But Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't remember it. It's gone, right? Look at verse 14. Well, 13, just from the neighborhood. Verse 13, as a father pities his children or loves his children, so the Lord loves those who fear him. Yeah. Do fathers love their children? Yeah, generally, right? Now, again, we're talking the norm here, not the exception. But yeah, children, fathers generally love their children. And just like we love our children, guess what? God loves you even more. God loves you more than you love, which is amazing. I love my kids. My kids are wonderful. You know, they're turning into wonderful young adults, and they're a lot of fun to be with. But you know, as much as I love them, God loves me and them even more. And that's pretty remarkable when you think about it. Verse 14. For he remembers our frame. He remembers that we're dust. Yeah. Yeah, oops. He remembers that we're dust. He does, unfortunately, right? God knows us, and he loves us anyway. You know, God does design us to be perfect. He'd love us to be perfect, and if we can be, that's great. But God understands we're human. We have fleshly nature. We make mistakes. We do things wrong. And the beauty of our Father is that we can always go back to him and say, God, I was wrong here. I'm sorry. You know, and God is so faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, says in 1 John 1:9. God loves us that big. So as 2026 starts, what are we going to do? Well, my sense is let's make some habits about it. Let's continue to pray more and read more. But my number one thing I'd like you to do is keep focusing on the fact that God Almighty loves you. He loves you so very, very much. He's right there for you. He always wants to be there for you. He's our Father, and he loves us that big. So I wish you a very blessed 2026. And like I say, look forward to seeing you next time. God bless you all richly. May your year be prosperous and blessed. God bless.
This is Reverend Dave Boston. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in next Friday at 4 p.m. as we continue to follow the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at homebible220@yahoo.com. Have a blessed week.